Announcements coming your way. Yeah. Hey friends, it's Heather Avis here. Okay, before we get into this episode, I have a few announcements. That was for those of you who love when I sing talk. First and foremost, the Lucky Few Foundation, guess what? We are going to be hitting the road for 5 weeks. That's right. I've talked about it here and there a little bit, but all five of the Avises are going to be on the road. One of those stops is going to be in New Orleans at the Down Syndrome Congress Convention, and we are so excited. That's June 25th and 26th. Hey, if you're going to be at the convention, come say hi. Come find us. We're going to be in the exhibit hall, and actually, our girl Val Schleter, producer extraordinaire of the one and only The Lucky Few podcast, she's going to be there for a couple days, and then we're going to be there on that last day. I'm going to be signing books. We're going to be taking pictures. We're going to be hearing stories. We're so excited to meet you if you're going to be there. And if you want to learn more about how you can get involved with this tour, we still need so much help in so many ways. Head over to theluckyfewfoundation.org to learn more. And last announcement, this is for all the mamas in the space. Hey, mamas in the space, say hey. Hey. Do you need a respite? Yes. Yes, I do. Thank you so much for asking. Great. Well, guess what? This August, the 26th, 27th, and 28th is going to be our first ever Lucky Mamas Retreat in Southern California. It's going to be in San Diego County, hosted by myself and Liz Plakta from Ruby's Rainbow. And we are bringing our flagship Lucky Mamas Retreat to the beautiful Oaks Retreat Center in Ramona, California, which is just outside of San Diego. This is an all-inclusive retreat. You show up Friday evening. You don't have to worry about one thing until you go home Sunday. And then hopefully you still don't have to worry because you're so refreshed and ready to face the week. It's going to be such an amazing time. You're going to get to be there with other Lucky Mamas. We're going to get to connect, swap stories, reflect, relax. You have time on your own, time together, really whatever you want to do. We're going to feed you good food and delicious beverages, and you're going to really have an opportunity to create long-lasting friendships. Sounds amazing, right? Well, guess what? We have 5 spots open, only 5 spots left. If you would like to come to our Southern California Lucky Mamas Retreat, you can go to heatheravis.com/events, learn more, and sign up there. All right, now on to our episode.
Test.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So by the time this airs, Mercedes is like had a whole summer.
Yeah. Like, I'm like lucky having duck. A mimosa.
Seriously.
You girls.
Perfect. She's listening back with her mimosa. And
I might be on a floaty in a pool somewhere. I don't know. Yes. Recording.
And I'm feeling good because I got 2 days left and Micah is bumped. She's just right barely
in the heart of it.
Barely hanging on. All right, friends, enough of that. Let's shout some words and shift some narratives for people with Down syndrome. Today, we're talking about our summer plan. Speaking of summer, and how we can prepare our children for all the fun summer opportunities that might come up or not, the boring times too. Prepare those who are going to be working with and hanging out with our kids too. So welcome to the Lucky Few podcast. Summer's almost here. This is how I'm going to talk about it. All right, y'all. Summer's almost here. And last week's episode was great, huh? About what does success mean to you? If you've not listened after this one, head on back and listen to that one. And then tell us, what does success mean to you?
Yeah, we want to hear it. That's such a good conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I loved getting to do that.
Same.
Heather, your new book is available for pre-order.
I have a new book coming out, guys. It comes out August 9th. Y'all, I don't know when I'm allowed to share about the exciting things connected with this book, but it's not today. And that's always annoying. Whatever. What do you guys think about when people like on social media, are like big announcement or like, they're like a little behind the scenes, like, I can't wait to tell you about this in 3 months. And you're like, I don't know. I don't know that I like to know that or not. Like, I'm not, I don't know if I do or not. What do you guys think?
I think there's been so many spoofs on it. So now when I see it, I chuckle. I'm like, that's silly. You know, like those accounts that spoof on the influencers.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Taylor. What's her name? Do y'all follow Taylor? Tay? Made for Tay? No.
No.
Dadgummit. She's so great. She's always like, here's what a normal person says. And then it's like, I really love to drink Diet Coke. And then she's like, and an influencer. And then she has on a hat and she's like, I discovered something that's amazing, everybody.
You probably don't know about it.
I had, it just showed up in the store I love. And it comes in aluminum cans.
Oh my gosh.
Can you believe what happens when you flip it? And it makes a sound. I call it Diet Coke.
Micah, you are so good at that. You need to start a new account
with all my free time.
With so much free time.
Sing songs. Be an influencer.
No, the best. I think, I don't know, I guess in regards to your book, I like it when you say it, but there was a spoof one time that was really funny when it's like your sister asked you when your book is coming out and you tell her, but then to an influencer will be like, so all of you guys have been asking and DMing me, when are you writing your next book? And it's the best. But I believe you.
No, it's so,
you do life with, I do life with you.
It's so true. And if people were asking me, I'd say that. No one is. No one's like, where's your next book? But I could totally fake it if I wanted to. And that is what's crazy. Say. I could go on and say, oh my gosh, I've had a ton of messages. Just so many of you guys are wondering when my next book is coming out. I know I haven't been super clear. Like, I've had zero messages, but no one needs to know.
The New York Times called me because I was a New York Times bestseller, and they can't wait either.
They can't wait.
They can't
I have gotten so much great feedback. You have no idea. And you guys, everyone's been wondering also where my shirt's from. So let me just give a quick little link to that. Anyways, y'all, my new book is coming out. It's called Everyone Belongs. It's coming out August 9th. There is a fun thing attached to it that you'll find out about soon enough. And I can't say it here and there. That's annoying that I said that, but I can't even believe it. I'll just say
we
that.
We do love
you guys. Let me just say, it is huge. You will not even believe it. It's also my favorite. This is going on way too long. When people are like, huge family announcement, make sure you're following along tomorrow at noon. Da-da. It's life changing, like whatever. And I'm like, I wonder if they got a reality show. Like, I'm going down the list of all the fun things. Yeah. And they're like, we're moving. I'm like, oh my gosh, that literally has nothing to do with me as a consumer of your content.
I don't care where you live. I just watch you on the internet.
Just humor. So I'm glad
that I put it in my calendar to come back and check at noon.
Clickbait.
Congratulations. Clickbait. I know. Anyways, we love you guys if that's you. What a wild world we live in, right?
It is.
I want to start doing that because I want to be a little exciting. And then have it be a fail. So we've switched to, I actually do make sourdough bread now.
Oh my gosh, let's do it. We're all, our challenge in the next month is to do a big announcement coming and then let the announcement, people be like, huh, okay.
Okay, unfollow.
Okay, here's the person that I love, the Daily Tay. It's Taylor Wolf.
Okay. No, but I'm going to. Okay, I'm excited.
The Daily
for this.
She does some things that bring me a lot of joy.
Maybe I'll do so. Oh, this is my goal, you guys, to get on the Daily Tay where she makes fun of what I did.
It's good.
Okay, I'm gonna figure that one out. All right, let's move on to Mercedes. Would you read a review from one of our amazing listeners?
Okay. Arthur and Eloise say, I can't even begin to describe what this podcast means to me. I've probably listened now for about 2 years, and now I'm telling you that this group of mamas and everyone they bring along to educate and advocate for our children with Down syndrome has given me so much comfort and friendship that they will never begin to understand. That is really sweet. Oh, the depths, y'all. I'm telling you, I'm alone so much with my two children, and one of them has DS. And when I listen to these ladies, I've never felt less alone.
I love this. I love her so much.
It's the truth. It's such a gift beyond any words. It's so easy to feel so isolated when you don't have a Facebook also, LOL. Oh, good job. But on top of that, having a child with special needs can always feel like no one gets it. I love you guys so much, and I'm so, so grateful for the resources and encouragement and growth you have given me and my family. So much love, Sarah Kendrick. Thank you, friend.
Sarah, we love you.
I know.
So grateful for you, Sarah.
I remember those little years, man, when you're at home with those littles, it is a little isolating.
It is.
So I love you, Sarah. Make sure to get out of the house today.
Yes, okay, you friend? Can. All of you.
You need to hear it.
Someone needs to hear this.
Yep.
Well, don't forget to review the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast, friends. We want to read yours aloud next week. We love reading these, and we appreciate your support so much. Mm.
All right, you guys, let's talk about this conversation. Let's give a little, if you want to talk about a little bit what your plans are. And I think that I'll share a little bit when it's my turn about, not that we take turns, it's weird to say that, about challenges in the past and how I like moving forward, challenges we've had in the past in summer programs and how that's changed the way we approach things and all that kind of stuff, because it can be hard. But let's start with what are you doing this summer? Do you have any plans in which you're like, I need to be proactive here for my kid with Down syndrome?
Yeah, I feel like, so Sunflower is going to be 9 June 3rd. So she's already 9 when this episode comes out. And I feel like last year was COVID, and so was kind of the year before. Well, no, the year
majorly
before
the year before,
major
yeah.
early COVID. Last year was like semi, but still major. So
also this year is so COVID,
also this year, semi, but major, I don't know. Let's not get into it, but she is now at an age where I feel like I need to go in with conversations because I want to sign her up for more, where before when she was younger, I guess how she was going to maybe not, I don't want to just say behave. I don't like that word, but how maybe she would function in a classroom was a little bit more forgiving because they were all little. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? It was all to be expected because they were all little, but now she's 9 going into third grade things. That's her. She's going to be in the third grade programs. And, you know, I feel like I need to prep everyone. I need to prep her. I need to prep myself. And then how do you prep programs, which you don't even know what they're doing at each day? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even know how to prep you guys because one day is a water day and I don't know. Yeah. One day's a sports day. I don't know, but, I am just trying to be organized and just, maybe having like a little like email template set up with things about Sunflower and headed off to director. Because I don't think she's going to have an aide for a lot of these things that I want to put her in, but I am trying to do that thing. And mostly these are things like VBS. Mm-hmm. We're going back to family camp. So that, and these are all things that I feel like I wouldn't know what to do until I did it. And then it didn't work out well. So I'm like, remember this for next summer.
Totally.
So I still feel like I'm going to do the best I can. And then there's going to be another takeaway that we could build on for next summer. But yeah, I am feeling a little anxious, but also excited because her brothers want to do things. They all want to have little things this summer and want to get dropped off. So I really am trying to be conscious about that, like giving them both opportunities for drop off fun VBS things this summer. And it's a little bit hard, a little bit challenging because they're not special needs things, right?
Yeah.
They're not
right
specific to that community. So I don't know what to expect, guys. I'm going to do my best. So far, all I have is an email thought in my head of
I think that's
my daughter.
Right. I think a template A template email makes a lot of sense. And can we just say that all of the things should be special needs things?
Yes.
Yes, it's, everything
should. It be specific?
Exactly.
And then shocking when I try to sign up my child for this and then call later and say, hey, by the way, I signed up Sunflower. She's in. And you know what? She has Down syndrome and I want to prepare you for that. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she's 9 and she can go.
Yeah. Right. Do you feel what I heard you saying, Mercedes, a little bit? Do you feel like because she's older, it's that gap between her and the peers in that same group has gotten bigger compared to when she was little, like in terms of ability and behavior and things like that? Like,
it would be more like, and when I see behaviors, because Sunny's not really like too behaviory, it's more attitude, I guess. She's can sometimes have a very she can sometimes have a bad attitude, you know.
Oh no way. not your child with Down syndrome.
Not my diva, Sunny. She can have a bad attitude. So when you say we're all gonna go right, she's gonna want to maybe go left or sit where she's at for a really long time. That's not fun. Yeah, everybody's still upbeat. Jana, Lyra moved on. She's not. Okay. So I feel like I feel like it's maybe, can she keep up with the fast pace? Is she gonna get tired too early? You know, I don't know. Like, I don't even know what to expect, because this is kind of where I feel like she is with the big guys. Like, even they're taller than her, you know, they're like reading and like doing bigger things. The conversations are bigger and longer and more complex. In that regard, I feel like that's where the gap is bigger, you know?
Yeah.
So will she connect with anybody? Will they even remember to check in on her in a crowd, you know?
Mm-hmm. I know.
You know. You moms out there know what I'm talking about.
I know. I know.
Drop her off and say good luck. It's crazy hair day. You're dressed up in crazy hair. Is that going to bother you? Are you like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, Micah.
Well, I was just going to ask, what about extended school year? Do you guys do extended school year? Are you offered it and then you turn it down? I feel like I ought to take advantage of it, but it ends up where Ace is there for a week and then we're doing something else for a week and then he's back at school for a week and, you know, it just kind of goes through July around here.
We are offered it and we've turned it down every summer just because we kind of go a lot and I'm just ready for school to be done. So I extended school year. I used to teach it when I taught special ed. I would always choose it. If it was offered to me, and I loved doing extended school year because it was a lot more fun and relaxed in a half day. And, it was kind of a different vibe for school. So I think my kids would have fun going, but we do too much in the summer and it wouldn't be beneficial for them. So we've never done it. It's a great option.
Sunny gets it offered even through the charter, but with services. So just like OT, speech, and PT. So we'll keep her OT and probably her speech as well for this summer.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That is so great. We are doing a huge trip this summer and there needs to be tons of preparation for the heart, mind, and soul of all of my children. We're going, we're doing our, this is Down syndrome storytelling tour, our first one. So we're doing 5 weeks on the road and we're going to be in 5 different states and it's a ton of travel, a lot of people, a lot of moving parts. The kids are, we just love to travel. It's one of our priorities as a family. And so the kids have been traveling, all of them, since they were babies in lots of different ways. They're really good travelers, all 3 of them. So I'm not worried about like airports. They just like show up and slay it. It's the moments when we're with a bunch of new people and there's expectations placed on the kids that either they can't meet or they don't want to meet. That feels challenging. So it does feel, I feel challenged in that I'm not sure how to prepare, but we will definitely use social stories, which we've talked about on here before, in the grander sense of like a transition social story. It's like an overall, or sometimes when we're here, you don't feel like you want to do that. Instead of sitting down and not moving, you can try this, or you can do this. Like giving, especially Macy, giving her options on how she can respond to situations when she's feeling a certain way. So we will definitely prepare her with all of that. And then August, God bless him, you guys, we're going to be on day two. He's going to be like, are we going home tomorrow? And then it's like, no, not for 35 more days. And he will be along for the ride, but the kid loves his home and his dog, but he's already feeling big feelings about it. He wrote a letter at Mrs. Brown's house. The tutor we go to in Irvine, so happy to learn with Mrs. Terry Brown. He was like all out of sorts last weekend, and she helped him work through it. And his letter was to maybe our dog, because he had promised her that last time we left for a long period of time, every time we leave for a trip or something, we come home and he says, maybe I promise I'll never leave you again. So he's feeling super conflicted. It's actually very, very sweet and sad and tender. He's feeling very conflicted about breaking his promise to maybe. And he's having a hard time processing. He was having a hard time processing that. And Terry's like, I'll just charge you $125 for this hour of therapy with August. Like, perfect. But tools that really work is that a way for them to process it. So he did a scribble letter. He just like scribbled words on a paper. And she's like, tell me what this says here. So he could like get it out like that. So we'll bring those kind of tools with us. Like, you are feeling a certain way. What if you just scribble it out here and we can talk about how you're feeling? Again, making sure that they know they have options on how to respond to something in a way that also works for our family unit, moving from place to place to place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's great, Heather. That's helpful to hear. I'll share what we're doing. We don't get out until the last week of June. So we're going to head straight to a little family vacation in Maine right then. And then we'll get back. We'll be home for a couple of days. And then we're all splitting up as a family. Going different places. So there's a writing retreat and workshop that I've been wanting to apply for a long time and never felt like I had, that my kids were in a place where I could leave for 10 days. And I finally felt that way this year. I applied and I got in. So I'm going to be gone for 10 days. This retreat is like paid for by a foundation, that kind of thing. So, I am going to Minnesota for 10 days by myself to work on this book project I'm working on.
So exciting. And
I'm really excited. And August is going to see a buddy in Indiana for a little bit during that time. Brooksy and Chris are going on a special trip. And Ace is going to his grandma's house in Philly, where I have a good friend who is a speech therapist, and she is doing a speech camp. And he's going to go to speech camp every morning while he's at his grandma's house and then swim in her pool in the afternoon.
I love it.
So they just had a test run this past weekend, and he almost slept through the night at her house.
That's great.
Almost.
Almost. How did she feel? Was she good? She's game.
She's game. It's intimidating, even for grandmas, to take on his, you know, level of food challenges and
totally. The
communication stuff and using the AAC device and his sleep challenges and all of that. So it's a big deal, and I'm grateful that she's willing to take it on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you have to think about how each of those little pieces at the very beginning were a big deal for you, right? Like when you didn't know it, and then you know it, and then it's like, you're in that rhythm. So it makes so much sense for a grandparent to feel overwhelmed by all of that. And it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay to feel overwhelmed. You got this, grandparents.
That's mm-hmm. right.
That's exciting stuff. Yeah. We have this unique situation where we live close to both sets of grandparents, mm-hmm. and both of them, each of Josh and I each have a parent with a disability that's mm-hmm. quickly progressing. And so that means that the other grandparent in each set is, because they're both still married and alive on both sides, is a caretaker full time.
Right. Right.
So we don't have an option for our grandparents to watch our kids. Mm-hmm. And it's been years that this is the disease that they both have, which they have the same disease, which is wild. they've had it. And like I said, it's a progressive thing. And so it's been years of this, but it just gets more intense. And I find myself when it comes to summer things, and maybe other listeners can understand this or feel this. I find myself going through another like level of grief that it just hits me of how sad I am. Like I hear about grandparent camps and kids going to their grandparents and then the grandparents who are like doing all the things.
Yeah.
And I just get real sad for me. Like I'd love a break. I'd love some help. I get real sad for my kids that they don't have that experience. They don't know any different. So that's me projecting onto them. They're not sad about it because it's, they love their grandparents. You know, they don't realize what's going on. And then I get so sad for the grandparents who don't get to be the grandparents that they want to be. Yeah. And summer kind of brings that up, you know, and I think people who don't live in proximity to their grandparents, I mean, it's so complicated for all different reasons with people in summertime and family helping or not.
Yep. For sure.
Yeah. Okay. Do you guys do sleepover camps? I mean, Ace is going to his grandma's house, but like there's a camp called Rad Camp. Have you thought about sleepover camp for any of your kids or your kids with disabilities? And let me just preface this, listeners, that on the West Coast, this is not a thing we do. Like people don't, I think this is very East Coasty, or there's a certain area in the world in which it's, this is what you do. From a young age, your kid goes away the whole summer almost to a camp. I'm serious.
This
is wild.
August's best friend out here.
How much is that?
I don't know. But I'm telling y'all that August's best friend out here went for 6 weeks last summer, and he's going 7 weeks this summer, and he loves it. He's going to the camp his dad went to when he was a kid. And it's such an East Coast thing. It's very normal to go away for a long time. And I don't know how much it costs. So,
can I do a plane ticket and send that to this in the East Coast? Because I don't know. There isn't one here.
It's not a West Coast thing. Like an overnight, maybe like when I was a kid, I would do a 5-night. Yeah. A Monday to a Friday.
Yeah.
Locally.
But not 6 weeks.
Not gone all summer at camp. And I'll just say, and this is probably just a reflection of all my codependency issues that I'm working out in real time as a 40-year-old. I'm not sending Mason to overnight camp.
Oh,
so there's that. Like she's 13. She'll be 14 this summer. Sorry. Nope. That's not what we're doing.
I feel like even more so at that age, I'm not doing that.
Like, what are you talking about? And I know that a lot of people
bunk mates up too.
And it's my issue. She would have so much fun. I'm sure she would be great. And everyone on the staff would be great. And there's opportunities for that. And I'm not ready. I'm still not ready. So I'll work through that with my therapist.
Well, I feel like, and me and Andy have talked about this also, because we don't even know, our kids are not there yet. I feel like that's coming up probably next summer, but I just don't even know how I feel about sleepovers.
Same, we don't do sleepovers.
Outside of family. I don't know. Like I feel like our kids think sleepovers are when we as a family go on vacation with another family. And we're all sharing a cabin. Like, I feel like that's been there. We've done sleepovers, you know, or like my mom will take each kiddo for a little sleepover at her house, you know? But I'm not there yet. And I feel like it's like knocking at my door. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? But, Sunflower. Yeah. We know about Rad Camp and they're pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Sounds like such a great program. But yeah, I'm not comfortable yet doing that. I could picture me being like a helper and doing it also. And maybe somebody has, I have one kid and somebody has Sunflower. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somehow I'm always involved in the
same. Let me be the camp counselor.
And I swear I'm not hovering her, but I'm still there.
I think that's what it is, Marissa. I think we're hovering.
Maybe I've got eyes on her.
Well, listen, I will say this, like my two older boys have done sleepover camp but they've only done like Christian camps. I have regrets over those camps for different reasons. One, the first time August went to sleepover camp, even though it was like a Christian one, he came home so terrified from the scary stories that the counselor told him that he had to sleep in my room for 8 months.
Yeah. 8 months?
Eight freaking months.
Okay. See, I can't do it.
No. And then, because you just have no control. And then, like, every once in a while, things come up, like things that he was taught at these camps that I'm like, we don't believe that.
Totally.
You know, like, and I'm like, why did I send you there? So this year, no, we're not doing camps. And, you know, it's talking about being the counselor. I'm like,
I'm not even signed up.
He's not going. My kids are not going to Christian camp anymore. And I'm the youth pastor now. Like, I'm 100%. Literally the youth pastor. I'm like, who's teaching them? Me.
That's what I've told Andy, because Andy's like, no, I don't. He's like that already about Sunday school. He's like, I don't know what their doctor. I'm like, well, then it looks like you're signed up to be, because right. I need to put them somewhere come Sunday morning. And I would like a week of you guys going somewhere.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
I went to Forest Home. You're going to Forest Home one day sleepaway camp. So giddy up. We've got three boys, Andy.
Right.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Sleepaway camp is a whole other than sleepovers and all that. Yeah. It's like aside from disability, but also, and this is, I am just going to get so negative here. I think it's something like our kids with disabilities are like 10 times more likely to be sexually assaulted mm-hmm. than kids without.
Super vulnerable.
And when your most vulnerable time of day is when you're sleeping, like you're the most vulnerable. Absolutely. So what, I'm going to let you sleep with a bunch of strangers in a cabin for 5 days. Are you freaking kidding
and
me?
You can't fully tell me.
Yeah.
The depth of what happened. No.
Right. I'm already sick to my stomach.
Sick to my stomach. And did you know that this is specific to Down syndrome, that their word in court is not valid? You have to fight. Yes. Because they have a cognitive disability.
Okay. This is another episode.
Yeah.
Yes. Even harder to get their story believed in court. Okay. Cause then they're asked repeatedly to tell their story, right? Say there's any discrepancy. Okay. That's used against them. No, I can't, guys.
No,
I'm already hot. I'm hot. Yes. Someone's already done something and they need to go. Not true.
Yes. I know. I think we also have to say, if you are listening and your kid is going to overnight camps, bless you. Like it sounds so judged. Like, I think that people can say your take what we're saying is judgmental. This is my own thing for me.
I don't want to be like this. I want Sunny to go to school, guys. She doesn't go to school. She's homeschooled. You don't want to be like me. Okay. Live your life. I want to be like you.
Totally. Totally. So
put them on the bus, send them.
Send your kids. I believe that there's more good people in all of these spaces than not. These are the things I'm working out in my own heart and soul. We do what we do, what we believe is best for our children.
Right. Whew.
We do.
What
and
else?
Our family, right?
And our whole family. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. I mean, and with that, let's talk about real quick, like the stress. Do you guys feel a level of stress in thinking of prepping for the summer for your kids?
I do now. Now that I, not after that conversation.
With her age, like where she's at.
Yes. With her age, where she's at. Now that I also, my boys do 2 days of a school. So they're like semi in school. And there was another mom and she's like, okay, I'm sending you guys this so you could sign up your kids. Here's my kids' schedule for the summer. And it was like every week was dialed, you know, whether they were on vacation or like you VBS church hop people, people VBS church hop.
Yes.
I didn't know this till yesterday. I didn't know that moms did this. This is so smart. I didn't know this was an option. And then there's all these other camps you can sign up for. I did not realize this. I thought we go to the beach, we go to the park, we try to stay alive. We do some crafts at home. Maybe have a summer reading list to get through. I don't know. This is next level. And I don't know if I will put this pressure on myself, but it definitely felt pressure because am I giving my kids the best summer ever? And then you kind of feel like, are they bored? Is it boring just to go to the beach every day or attempt to go to the skate park every day? I don't know, but I feel a little bit swayed that I'm giving them a boring summer, guys.
You know what? There's so much research that just to remind you, there's so much research that it's great for kids to be bored. It's great for kids to have downtime. And it's great to go to the beach every day. How many kids in the world wish they could go to the beach every day?
I know.
So, I want to show you this.
Okay. Mike's holding up. Micah.
Find Your Slow Summer. And it's from this group called saltproject.org. I just got on their mailing list.
I thought that was from you when it said
slow. I know.
I was like, okay, hello.
I'm writing this
down. It just has like 50 slow summer ideas. And it's like just, okay, it says summer is meant to be savored. And so it talks about these 50 slow summer ideas as a guide to help you and your family. So it's just ways that you can slow down and enjoy the beauty around you and enjoy the time off without that pressure on yourself to give your kids something. I stinking went camping one weekend of the summer growing up, and then the rest of the time I was in Amarillo, Texas, like scooping up like rotten peaches. That was my chore every day, and going to the pool. It was great. So these things. Like, there's weekly dinner conversations. There's ideas for what you can do. Run through a sprinkler. Play hide and seek as a family. Go to a drive-in movie. Catch fireflies.
You're
going to
make me cry. That's so cute.
Make mud pies. Watch a sunset together. There's just cool things. And it's all really simple. But I think it's a really good reminder that we don't have to pay out the wazoo and sign up for every possible camp
too. Even the VBSs. I'm like, man, times that number by three that can go.
Yep.
I think like with the VBSs and stuff, or going back to what we're talking about here a little bit, I don't know that I can just drop my kids off at VBS. I've got to know my kids with Down syndrome. I've got to know that there's some support in place.
Yeah.
I have an expectation that they will be allowed to, they will be there and they will be embraced, but there's got to be some kind of support in place and understanding. And then for me, the stress levels comes at, my kids have experienced so much rejection from their peers, just in a way that no one's even trying to, they just walk into a room and it, you know, all of our kids, like the side eye and the, like my kid trying to, you know, get into a conversation, but their speech isn't there. And the kids aren't just like, oh, let me embrace you into my world, person with Down syndrome I've never met before. No, kids are great, but kids are like, I don't know who you are, and I'm here with my friends. And
totally,
you've got 1 week, and then my kid has a hard time. So then they sit on the floor and refuse to move, and now they're that kid who's on the floor that refuses to move. And what is worth it, and what is not, and just how unfair that feels. You know, like I can send Truly anywhere, and she's gonna fit right in. And then for Macy to go somewhere, it's not Macy's fault. And it's so unfair. And it is so burdensome for me. And the summer brings that up for me too. All those activities, it feels stressful. And even like, we used to go to a place every summer, and last summer was so bad in the ways in which there was no support for Macy. And the attitude towards Macy is, you are a burden in this space. And I'm like, no way are we coming back here. And we'll never go back there. And it wasn't like that when she was little, right? When she was littler, it's like, yeah, she's just littler. And we had issues, and there were moments, and it's like, Macy's still over here at the ropes course place, and she's not coming, and people being nasty about that. Like, that kind of stuff happened, but she's littler, and her awareness more of feeling left out. And I don't want to put that on our kids either. And so then it's, I can understand the parents too, who are like, we're just not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that feels unfortunate too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to do about that, you guys. I think it's just, you got to choose your battles. Like, where are you going to stand up? And solidarity, and I'm sorry that it's hard. You know, I just need parents to say to me, I'm so sorry that this is the reality for you. That sucks.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's true. Like, summer is a lot harder to choose your battle. Like, we know how to go into schools and push for what we need. But when it's a place that you were at for a week,
right?
You know, when you're going to a program for a tiny second, then it's just really feels impossible to step in and be like, I'm going to change this system.
Totally. Totally.
Yeah. Because even with schools, there is how much training about around disability for expert and how many experts are there. And then you're like, we're going to send our kid to the summer camp, or we're going to show up to this place that's a summer program. Nobody's right. trained in disabilities right. and there's no supports no. in place naturally.
Run by college students.
And everybody is 14 and you're like, okay, and no experience with my kids and, or anyone with a disability. And all they know to do is other, cause that's all they, our society's taught them. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And so then it's like, oh Lord have mercy. Can we be at all the places? Cause I don't want to be just sitting at home, but also I don't know y'all. Guy, I'm like a real bummer in this conversation.
The answer is sit at home and make mud pies and go watch the sunset.
Yes.
Go to the pool.
Mud pies in the sunset.
I guess it's kind of a, it is kind of brings up another episode of a conversation is if, you know, summer can be lonely, you know, for those who can't travel a lot, you know, which is kind of a bummer conversation, but I want us to be a place that can be that for someone just in case, know, that if it is kind of lonely, you know, or for the moms who kind of need that safe break from their kiddo, possibly with Down syndrome, you know, now they're going to be home all summer. And I just want to affirm the families that okay, gearing up for that, like a summer of no support in place, you know?
Hard. Yeah. Or single moms working full time. I mean, summertime, my mom was a stay-at-home mom. I was an educator for years and I had the summers off as an educator. And then I was a stay-at-home mom. So summers always were like a opportunity for all these fun things. But I think the majority of people, it is extended year. It is daycare. It is nothing's changed except that you now need someone to watch your kids during, during the hours that you're at work. So we see you too, friends. Mm-hmm. We see you and it's a lot and we're doing it.
We're doing it. And I think it's important to say too, like you can choose that battle, right?
Yeah, and absolutely.
It's more power to whoever has the strength to go make the summer camps inclusive. Go do it, friends.
Do it.
And yeah, I think that I feel like we've said it all. I feel like we've brought it to a conclusion here.
I know. Our conclusion. Our sweet summer.
Little bow on it.
It's a little bow. Yeah. Our shaky bows lately on conversations. Really those are my favorite though. A little bit of a bummer. You said it before, Micah, too. What it was on one of your posts where it was like the melancholy.
Yeah.
You know, I could kind of relate to that. Like, oh, yeah. Well, who knows? Oh, yeah. Life.
Bittersweet.
Okay.
Bittersweet.
I'm going to go go to the plant store now. Bye. You know, I can leave a heavy conversation, still move on, but it is a little awkward transition.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I think the only way to transition, everyone, is.
Ooh.
I've got some good news in my head. I've got some good news in my heart. I got some good news to speak in this microphone. I got a lot of good news. Yeah.
Time for good news. Time for good news. Everybody, welcome to the good news. Yeah, yeah.
That's my favorite one yet.
Oh, thanks. So, ladies, bring it. What are we celebrating?
Good news. I'm gonna just keep saying this good news until it's gonna always be good. Sunny just has this sweet friend that, and her mom's on board. We're gonna go on a hike this Friday. Like we just do play dates together and it's because her daughter continues to seek out Sunflower. And I'm just praying that Sunflower one day just says, Mom, I want to hang out with so-and-so too. I just want Sunny to cross this threshold of being a little bit more reciprocal to the friendship. She is when she's there, but I just, Sunny loves her brothers, man. And that's all. She's such a loyalist in this way. I'm like, you can have other friends. Like, stop it. She just like, no, Rhodes is my best friend. Like, she's got such a loyalty to her brothers when it comes to like, when I say, who's your friend? And I just don't, I want this other girl who's so sweet to have a friend in Sunny also. And I keep encouraging Sunflower in that, you know, like, this girl's really seeking you out. She wants to be your friend. You can talk to her about things, but it's wild how much of a practice I have to put into place for Sunflower to be that friend. And it doesn't happen every day, right? So it's like practicing in big gaps of time, you know, like we try to get together at least once a week, but still, okay, next week, let's try this, Sunny. Ask her about blah, 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 you know. But it's good news that I have a mom and a little girl who's willing to be with us on this journey, on this practice. And it's been really beautiful and exciting and fun.
It's huge.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's like all I want.
That's why I feel like I don't want it to end. So I'm going to say that it won't end, but I'm like, I am, this is good news until it's over.
But right now is all we have. And right now is good news. So yeah, that's sweet.
Okay. And we also have a good news from a listener. This is from One Extra Nix. Oakley, who spent 3 years in a crib in an orphanage, has started trying to stand on her own after 3 months of PT, being home 10 months, and is picking up on signs. Being nonverbal, seeing her sign makes us both giddy to know what she needs and wants. That's amazing.
Okay, I want to cry.
That is such good news.
That is amazing news. Beautiful.
We love you, Oakley.
Yes, we're so happy that you're home and that you're getting to get physical therapy and that you're making progress. Way to go, Oakley.
All right, y'all. We're going to wrap this episode up. If you've got good news you want to share, you can go ahead over to Lucky Few Pod on Instagram, leave us a direct message or write it there in the comments or email hello@theluckyfewpodcast.com for sharing your good news or any questions, comments, concerns that ever come up. We love to hear from you guys. And thanks, Josh Avis, for editing this episode. And thank you to Val Schleter for producing it.
And if you like this episode, you can share it with your family and friends. And while you're doing that, don't forget to subscribe yourself.
And you guys, be sure to be following us on all the social medias at The Lucky Few Pod. We love you guys and we think you're slaying it and you're amazing. I hope your summer is filled with a lot of slow and beautiful everyday moments.
Yay.
Can't wait to be with y'all next week. Bye.
It's the craziest one. Okay.
Bye.